woke up at 5 a.m., put on my camouflage, wiped off my 243 and fired up my Dodge. And headed out to my old deer stand back in the pines, gonna get me a 10-point buck with 11-inch tines. I'm a backwoods boy, grew up on a dirt road. I'm a backwoods boy, no better place to go. Wishing on a star, I'll always be true to my heart. 'Cause I'm a backwoods boy. I'm a backwoods boy.
And welcome back to Jim Strainer Outdoors, hour number two of the broadcast tonight. We're talking summertime bass fishing with Wes Thomas. He's a pro bass angler from up around Hanover, Indiana. Wes, you've had a pretty darn good year this year, buddy.
Well, I've been kind of fortunate, Jim. We have done pretty good, even on some of the team circuits that I fish. We're doing extremely well on them, and just things are falling into place. I don't know why, really. You know, we put in our time and worked at it, which helps a lot, but kind of familiar with a lot of the places we're fishing, so that helps. And it's just, you know, you got to enjoy what you're doing, and I really look forward to it when it's time to go. These days when you spend 3 or 4 days in a row out, it's not so bad this weekend because it wasn't as hot, but those hot days, it takes a toll on you. I know that. You don't get ready for bed at nighttime, I'll put it that way for sure.
Oh, yeah. Well, having spent a good part of your life farming for your mainstay of your life, you're used to the heat a lot more than I guess some of the other fellas. But I know you've done very well this year. You've had several first-place finishes, as I recall.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we've been, like I say, we've been doing really well, and we're points leaders in one of the big circuits that we fish, and we only got one more tournament to go, and we're hoping that we can sustain that and win that points championship. And it's just all, I guess it's because it, you know, I guess you want to feel like you're maybe doing the right things and stuff, and so, you know, be with your peers and stuff, and that you can go out and do that kind of stuff and catch them. So it's self-gratifying, there's no doubt.
Absolutely.
We get upset too when we don't catch one or something happens. We get pretty upset about it.
Don't we all?
Yeah.
I'm going to break the show down in a different fashion than we have before. And what I'm going to talk about is cover types. And I want to start off with weeds, all types of aquatic weeds, because they're very prevalent during this late summer period. They are utilized to a very large degree by the fish. There's a lot of different ways you can fish them and catch some really, really exceptional fish, actually, by keying on them, because bass love shade just like we do, and weeds provide that. Let's give you a rundown on some tips for folks about how to fish aquatic weeds of the various types.
Any type of vegetation, you gotta, like you were talking about there, you gotta know if it's submergent or if it's coming to the top and making a canopy under it. A great type of vegetation is lily pads this type of time of year. If you're around someplace that's got lily pads, you can throw a frog. There were several fish caught down there in this tournament on a frog, especially yesterday in that cloudy condition. But I caught a few fish today at a weed, but they were what we call that green river weed. It just grows off the bank and it'll come out in the water a short distance.
Right.
I don't know the proper name for it. We just call it green river weed. But, It grows in the Louisville Pool on the points of those bars and stuff, and down there in some of the creeks, it's pretty prevalent in places, and it's grows. And you're just flipping into that, you know. It's like I was flipping my crawl dad. I just look for little pockets in them weeds to flip it down in there. But the fish will back up in that stuff, like you're saying, for shade or an opportunity to eat maybe some minnows or something that might be in there. But normally I'm flipping into that stuff. If it thins right out enough to where I'll throw a frog on the edges of it. When you're talking about getting out in the weeds, like into the lakes and stuff, it's got these big, huge weed lines in them and stuff like that. There's so many ways. If the water's good and clear and you still got weeds, you can throw a spinnerbait in. The fish will come up out of them weeds and eat a spinnerbait really good. You can swim a chatterbait through the weeds and stuff. It works awful well. There's just all kind of things you can do. I know. You can take some people on certain lakes where those weeds are out off the bank, they'll take a 10-inch worm, throw it out, and just kind of not put a super heavy weight on it, but just enough so that when they feel that start to make contact, they lift their rod and they just swim a 10-inch worm through the weed. Great way to catch them. If you put too big a weight on it, it goes down and buries into the weed, and you won't get near the bites if you put a lighter weight and pay attention to when it first starts to make contact with around the bottom. Just raise your rod tip up, lower, just swim it through there. And they'll just load up on them. The fish will just, you know, load up on you. They're not any trouble to catch them. Swim baits around these weeds and stuff are great. I think that in our part of the country, over here in Indiana especially, we don't have the opportunities to catch a lot of good fish, like you see, if you're watching some of these TV shows and stuff, these guys are throwing these big swim baits and just wrecking them, you know, doing good. Unfortunately, I don't think Indiana's got that kind of fish population to go out and do it consistently. Kentucky probably does in some lakes. When Kentucky Lake was really producing fish, that was a super way to catch them out, even out on those brake lines and stuff. Take a swim bait and swim it through that stuff, and then fish will just come get it.
Absolutely.
You see these guys fishing these smallmouth lakes and stuff, and they're throwing drop shots and stuff, and usually those kind of lakes have got some weed on the bottom, and they may not be solid. They just may be clumps of weeds, but those guys are looking for those clumps of weeds and stuff, and they're throwing like a drop shot or a Ned rig or something around there. And a lot of times they just get it close to those weeds, and the fish are laying right there in them weeds waiting for something to come by to eat. There's so many ways you can go out here and fish. It's just unbelievable.
Well,
the way I learned to fish and way out like I did today and stuff, that was just the way I like to fish, and I was fishing to my strength. But all the other guys might have been throwing completely different bait, and they think that was the best way to catch them. They were fishing to their strengths and stuff, and that's what you got to learn to do. If you want to compete in tournaments, you can't just go and say, I'm going to throw this bait every time, every day. You've got to back off and think, well, that's not really working here. I need to be doing this. I need to be doing that. So,
well, it's like I say all the time.
If you find a place with vegetation, you're going to find bass.
Absolutely. That's one of the things that I wanted to pass along, because for the time a bass is a little bitty fry, what a lot of people would say is a minnow, to their intermediate stage when, let's say, they're 4 or 5 inches long, on up to when they're maybe up to 12 inches, they love nothing better than to get in, around, or under weed growth if they got access to it.
Exactly.
It lets them hide. They learn as little bitty bass to attack aquatic insects that live in the weeds as they grow. They learn to attack the bluegill and frogs and larger aquatic insects. And then when they get to be really big fish, they learn to use that shade as cover and comfort, and they turn to frogs and bigger stuff like crawfish. Right. So if you look at those life cycles of a bass, which I pay particular attention to, you can really kind of open your mind up to why vegetation is such a big deal, because it's easy to fish. Wes, I fish a bait a lot. I like frogs. I'm nothing against them. I've caught, gosh, I don't know how many thousands of bass through my career on artificial frogs. But there's a bait that my buddy Van Vance and I use that's easier to fish than a frog, that has a higher hookup rate. And it's, you're going to like this because it's near and dear to your heart. You've probably seen these. They're shaped exactly like a lead bullet weight, but it's made out of styrofoam. Bass Pro Shop sells them. It's a floating object, I guess I'll call it. I don't know how to describe it better than that, but it looks just like a bullet weight. And we'll use a tube with a weedless hook, but it's the wire guard weedless hook. Right. And the number of hookups you get on that rig where you snake it over the top of the grass and twitch it versus a regular frog is unbelievable. I mean, it's like 2-to-1 on hookups. And, of course, we use braid, you know, to set the hook, and mm-hmm. just about have to horse the fish or you're not going to get it in. But, man, is it deadly. I don't know if you've ever tried that, but, it is deadly.
I've been throwing a...
I
know most fishermen have heard of Scum Frog, the company Scum Frog that makes hollow body frog. Well, they've got, I'm not saying it's real new, but they've got one out, and it's a popping frog by Scum Frog. And it sits real low in the back end in the water and got a concave front on it. And it's real simple to fish and just pop it along. And with it riding a little bit lower in the back end, the hookup ratio is really good. And this frog is a little bit smaller than like the Spro frogs that some people are using and stuff like
that.
Just a little bit smaller. But it seems like when they want to eat that thing, they get it good. Where sometimes they blow a Spro frog up and knock it a foot away from them or something. Seems like they take this little Scum Frog and eat it good.
Well, that's what I like.
Me and you both.
Yeah, buddy. Hey, Wes, let me go to a quick break here. Yes, sir. Let me go to a quick break here. This break is presented by SMI Marine. They're at 11400 Westport Road. Go see them. They'll take great care of you. They're really good at troubleshooting any problems you're having with your boat or your electronics. And remember, you never get soaked by my friends at SMI. And we're back with Wes Thomas talking summertime bass fishing. For the break, Wes and I were discussing tips and techniques for fishing aquatic weed, which is always a big attractant for bass during this time of year on lakes where you have weed. And Wes, I wanted to discuss a couple of things that I think are important when you're talking about weed. For you and I, it's obvious probably because we've done it so long. For others that are either new to the sport or perhaps haven't really, you know, been on the water as much as we've been able to. And that is, there's differences in time of day when bass would. And what I mean by that is, early in the mornings, I tend to fish the outside edges of weeds or areas where they feather out towards deeper water. I find that the fish cruise those edges looking for bait fish, frogs, you know, bluegill, you name it. And you can catch them on top water there. You can catch them on a round trap. Fished with braided line where you can rip the bait. That line will cut through the weed and use it in a kind of a jerk and drop fashion. Then as the sun rises and you get towards noontime and above, that's when a lot of the fish transition in under the aquatic weed. Mm-hmm. That's when you need to start thinking about using frogs or some of the other baits we talked about. Is that
right.
a strategy right. for you? Do you agree with that?
Yeah, definitely, Jim. It worked a little bit down at the river when it was cloudy and overcast yesterday and this morning. The fish, it took about a couple of hours this morning for me to really get tracked into what was going on. And the sun come out and things got a little brighter and stuff. And it put those fish, of course, it wasn't under weeds as such, but it was under some of them laying logs and stuff where they'd have a little depression where they could lay down there and kind of get out of the sun and the brightness because the water was so shallow. But you're on the right track there and stuff. Now, down in Florida, when I spend most of the winter down there fishing, I mean, in Okeechobee, if you can't fish weeds, you better stay at home. And, we use it to the fact down there, everybody call it, you know, we're going to go punch it. And that's taken about an ounce and a half weight, sometimes up to 2 ounces. And, Texas rigging a small crawdad or a beaver type bait to it. And you go out there and punch those, hydrilla mats or, cattail mats or wind blown stuff. And you're not fishing very deep, but that stuff makes a canopy. And once you can get that weight to penetrate that canopy, it's open underneath there. It's open. The fish can swim through there without any obstruction at all. And they'll be underneath there, especially after a cold front or something. That's how 75% of the fish down there are caught in the wintertime. When they have a front, everybody goes punching. And some of the locals down there that know the areas where those mats are good usually clean house. I mean, it takes 25 to 30 pounds down there in the wintertime when they're punching mats full. When guys catch, and they're using 80 and 100 pound test braid with a big sinker and about a 7.5 foot flipping stick. And it's hard to kind of get to doing it and making yourself realize it. But once you ever do it and you catch a couple of big ones underneath that mat, that's what you want to do all the time. It's pretty addictive, really.
Yes, sir.
And then the other times we're fishing in scattered hydrilla and stuff, and you talk about a rattle trap, that's a great bait down there. To rip that rattle trap through that hydrilla and stuff, scatter bait through that. So you're right on tune with all that, and mostly it just takes some experience and some time to figure that kind of stuff out. And you might not necessarily catch a bunch of fish every time, but once you learn to do it, your fishing will get better and better. You know, you'll see that situation and adapt to it quicker and make it work.
Yes, sir. Something else I want to mention, because I do it a lot and it's demanding. I will tell you it's demanding. But I love throwing a lure like a floating Rapala. This sounds counterintuitive. Into holes in weeds. Anywhere there's a pocket where there's a hole, say, you know, it may only be 2 feet around or it may be 6 feet around. Bass love to sit in those places and watch for things. You can use a frog there, obviously, or a fluke is another bait I love to throw in those holes. And, buddy, those bass are laying there waiting to be had. So I wanted to pass that along. We'll transition to some other stuff here after the break. This break is presented by Mossy Oak Properties, Hart Realty. Paul Thomas is the broker. Got all kinds of great outdoor properties listed. Check them out on the web at mophartrealty.com. And we're back on Jim Strader Outdoors talking with Wes Thomas about summertime bass fishing. And Wes, I'm going to change gears on you a little bit. And we're going to wrap this out at the end of the program, turning back to how to fish wood. But right now, I want to talk rocks and docks. because that's two things that are so prevalent on so many lakes around the region. It, you know, if you talk, I don't care where you want to talk about Barron, Rough River, Nolan, even Patoka. There's Monroe up there, and up around Bedford, Indiana, rocks and docks. Talk about how you fish them in the summer and your baits and your strategies.
It's a lake that I'm not familiar with, Jim, but I know it's got a lot of docks and stuff. First thing I do is start cruising the edges and looking to see what kind of docks they are. Are they floating docks or are they post docks? And with post docks, I mean ones that are set where they've driven post in the ground and you have a solid dock. Because you fish those kind of docks, at least I did, completely different than you do floating docks. And if they've got the boat lifts with them, just makes them that much better. I love to fish docks that have got boat lifts alongside of them. That framework of that boat lift underneath the water is just, it's almost like fishing a brush pile almost. And that's where I really and truly like to fish. And if I'm fishing ones that are floating docks, most of the time I'm fishing something down the edges, whether it be a spinnerbait or maybe even a buzzbait, wanting them to come up out of that dock. But I'm trying to get them to come from under the float. I've fished docks, floating docks before, in 40 or 50 feet. And I'm not even trying to fish the bottom, but I'm fishing those docks because of the shade. They may have bluegills around them or something, but you're trying to get the fish will be suspended underneath the docks, using it for shade and ambush. And that's how you fish those. And if it's in that deep, there's not going to be a boat lift or anything in it. But just, you know, it doesn't make it way. But when you're fishing shallower post-type docks, I'm going to try to skip as far underneath those docks as I can. And then when I get to those boat lifts, most of the time they've got them put 3 or 4 inches from the dock. And you have to get your boat in position and pitch your, I'm using a soft plastic bait. Sometimes it's a Senko Texas rig. Sometimes it's a Rage Bug. But you have to pitch and get it in that little opening. Sometimes the fish are at the back of the docks on the post. Sometimes at the front of the docks. The fish will tell you that after you fish for a little while. And you think, well, I've had 4 bites, but every one of them is, you know, at the back of the dock. So then you better be concentrating on the back of the docks and not the fronts. And then the next time you go, it may be just opposite. But you have to be precise with your when you're flipping and pitching to get that bait in those places. And if that boat lift's got a pontoon boat in it or something, you got to flip up underneath that pontoon boat. And you got to be ready for a bite almost immediately after your bait gets in the water. Because if they're laying there and that bait falls by them, they're going to get it. And if you let them swim off with it very much, 9 times out of 10, you're not going to get them back out of it.
Right.
Because,
right.
You know, all that dock framework is metal and stuff, and as soon as that happens, well, you become target from your bait, so to speak.
Yes, sir.
And but I love to do that. I mean, I just, well, when I see that kind of stuff on these lakes, that's just like I was telling you there earlier, we fished up in that lake up in Indiana here about 3 weeks ago. We had almost 22 pounds and caught every one of them out from these docks. And the boat lifts in the dock.
Well, this goes back to my theory about bass instinctively wanting to get underneath things
right.
where they can hide and attack. And a dock right. is absolutely perfect for the way they like to operate that way.
Sure, sure. It's a no-brainer, man, I'm telling you. If any of you, the listeners, you know, watch fishing tournaments on TV, if it's in a place where there's a lot of docks, you'll see those guys beating those docks, beating them. and even not just individual dock, but marinas. A marina. Sometimes the marinas don't want to fish around them, and you have to kind of be careful when you're doing that. But those boats can be sitting out in 20 foot of water or whatever in these marina slips. I'm not worried about fishing the bottom. I'm worried about fishing right down the edge of all those floats and right underneath those boats. Those fish will just hang in there, and that's where you can catch them. I've caught a ton of them down at Kentucky Lake out of those marinas on spinnerbaits and stuff. Just pitching a spinnerbait down
yes, sir.
The boat and just letting it maybe get 3 foot deep and then start winding. And you won't have no problem telling when you get a bite because they'll probably take it away from you. But that's really a strong way to fish, Jim. It really is.
All right, talk about rocks. You know, big boulders, broken rock, fish by shade, and little hidey crevices and that type of structure as well.
Rock, if it's broken up chunk rock and stuff, according to the time of the year, sometimes not quite so much in the summertime. I like to throw a crankbait on them, let them get down there and hunt and bang off the rocks and veer off to the side and then crank, you know, like to get out in front of them and throw a shaky head. Especially like if there's a point or if you think there's a channel bend comes in close to the bank. Throw a shaky head, fish it out to the channel bend. If it's, of course, that wouldn't be summertime, but you can, if there's shad present and the wind is blowing and it's got that bait kind of blowed up against these rocky banks, a spinner bait is A number one, a buzz bait's A number one. Because it blows that bait up there, the wind kind of keeps that bait up there, and when it's there, the bass are going to come, that's where the bass are going to be.
Yep. Well, one thing I did want to mention, because a lot of people overlook it, and I don't know why. I think it's because they know the water's hot. But I love fishing steep rock, you know, boulder-type walls right at daylight.
Right.
You know, especially if it's a channel bank.
There's a multitude of things you can fish those places with. Usually, if you're talking about something like that, you're fishing that way, usually the water's fairly clear. And you can get into like a tube deal or a Ned bait or even a drop shot or something. Usually, big boulder type thing and rocks like that don't go along too well with muddy water. You know,
right.
The fish are going to be shallower than what you're talking about.
Yes.
Now, if there's smallmouth there and stuff, That's going to be an A number one place to get you some smallmouth problem.
Yep. Well, another thing I wanted to pass along, and you could really get fat doing this, and I'm kind of I love spotted bass. I think they're one of the neatest fish we got. On average, they don't get as big as the smallies and the largemouth, obviously, but they're a real gamey fish, and there's large numbers of them in a lot of our lakes. And I love fishing tiny plastic crawfish imitations on main lake channel rock points from now through September. The crawfish are migrating. They're suckers for it. I mean, they're aggressive fish.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. See, it's we're not quite there yet, but we will be pretty soon when this water starts to cool down and these shad get to moving around and stuff, and these fish they'll migrate with the shad, and they'll get off these points like what you're just talking about there, or the sides of these points. And if you can find that situation, that deal like you're talking about there, you can't help but get bit.
Yes, sir. Because all right, Wes, let me go to our last break here, and we're going to talk about wood again. Knock on wood, how to fish wood. During this period, we touched base on a little bit in the river, but I want to talk about some of our other lakes. This break is presented by SMI Marine. Go see them. They'll take great care of you. Remember, you never get soaked by my friends at SMI. And it is indeed getting near dark. It's a little ways off, but a little Eric Clapton there, bringing us back to Wes Thomas. Wes, a couple of other things about the big scattered rock and boulder configurations I think is worth mentioning. On almost all the lakes, in the early mornings, there's one bank or area that holds shade longer than the others. Folks, these are common sense things, but you've got to pay attention to them. And by doing a little scouting, you'll discover you can extend your early light period fishing by understanding starting out on banks where maybe you catch a lot of fish real early, but then you've got options where the river or the old creek channel swings into a bank that stays shaded longer up to, say, 9 or 10 o'clock in the morning. And I love throwing topwater stuff, small Zara spook puppies, things like that that you can cover a lot of water with along those deep rock wall banks like that early in the mornings.
Oh, yeah, you're right on when you have to kind of pay attention to your surroundings and know what bank's going to hold some shade, because I've found myself a lot of times, you know, scrambling around trying to remember where that shade might be holding on, like you say, for another hour or something like that. It can make all the difference in the world, really.
Yes, sir.
That topwater deal you're talking about, like, I do it with a pawpaw or something.
Right.
More so than some of those other deals, but it only takes a couple of different bites. You know, I've done a lot of seminars over the years and stuff, and I used to go to everyone I could go to when I was a lot younger. And I've always told everybody, you know, don't go to a seminar and think you're going to walk out of there being the next Roland Martin or whatever. I said, you go to a seminar and hopefully you'll learn one or two items that'll help you get one or two extra bites every time you go fishing.
Yep.
And I said, if I can get one or two extra bites of a little bit higher quality size fish or whatever, it'll, in the long run, that makes such a difference in tournament fishing. Now, pleasure fishing, you know, of course, it'll make you feel better when it's over with, but in tournament fishing, one or two extra bites is all it takes from being cashing checks or going home scratching your head.
Yes, sir.
I would like to mention real quick is that I've mentioned it before, that Wuha Tackle Shop, the new place up there at Cementville where you get off 65, he's having Bill Lowen up there this Saturday for a little meet and greet. And Bill is a very accomplished bass master angler. He won $100,000 down at Pickwick here a couple months ago. Been fishing for a long time, very well knowledgeable about all aspects of it. And anybody that's interested could come up, meet Bill, and have an enjoyable time.
All right. Say all that over again a little slower and give where folks get off I-64 to access and what time at name of the shop again.
65. Yeah, you go up 65 and get off at Cementville and just go left and go over there about two or three blocks, and he's on the left back in a little strip mall there. Real nice little tackle shop. He's really trying to make something out of it and doing a good job. He's learning more all the time and then getting more new baits in all the time.
Okay. And the name of the shop again, so people can Google it?
Wuha. Wuha Bait and Tackle.
Okay.
W-A-H-U, Wuha.
Okay. Very good, sir. All right, we got about 4 minutes here. Let's talk about wood again. You talked about laydowns, covered that thoroughly. Talk about fallen treetops and or big timber laydowns in some of the deeper, clearer lakes. What's your approach?
Usually when I get very far off the bank on the wood, I'm looking for brush piles that maybe either people have put in there for crappie or put in there for bass fishing. I like to find some brush piles off the bank or out off some points. Usually they're near maybe a channel drop or something. I try to target that. And if I'm in a bigger lake with a lot of standing timber in it, I don't get to do it very much, but I've used a jigging spoon, get out in deep timber around a, especially if there's a channel going through it, to get around those big trees and take a jigging spoon and vertical jig right down beside those trees. And there again, you probably won't be at the bottom. You'll be somewhere in that column of water up off the bottom where those fish suspend in there. When Patoka Lake was new and had all that timber in it, we wore them out there in that standing timber with a jigging spoon out in deep water.
I had some magic days up there doing that back in the day in the early fall, you know, September, October, all the way up into November, where it was just crazy good. Treetops, fallen treetops, actual, you know, tops of a tree. You can find them, and you can run and gun them in certain lakes, and there's a lot of ways to fish those, but I find that some of the bigger fish suspend out off the ends of that rather than actually burying up into it. There's a variety of lures you can throw. One of my favorites is a fluke. Just something about that erratic action of a fluke and then it dropping. They seem to be real suckers for it. And early in the morning, you can fish topwater around those outside edges and then move in and probe the main trunk and the limbs to finish off your approach on those trees.
And if they're not too thick, you can take maybe a half or three-quarter ounce spinnerbait with a willow leaf blades on or something and throw it out and work that through that top. And if those fish are suspended in that top, you'll catch some of them on a spinnerbait also.
Yes, sir.
You know, Wes, a lot of times that when we're fishing and trying to catch fish, we're not worried about the bottom so much. And it's in stuff like that we're talking about.
Absolutely. Wes, I'm deeply appreciative of you taking your time on your way home from the tournament as usual. What's your next stop?
I think it's a couple of weeks away, and we're going to fish back in the river again up at Tanner's Creek. That'll be interesting to say the least.
Yes, sir. Well, best of luck to you. We'll check back in with you and be careful on the road going home.
All right, Jim, you be safe.
Yes, sir. You do so yourself. Folks, that's about a wrap for tonight. Sir?
I said, I'll be back in touch with you about that other matter at Patoka, too.
Yes, sir. Yes, I definitely want to get keen on that. All right, folks. Great to visit with you as usual. That was, a very informative show. I learned a couple of things my own bad self, as I always do when I'm around Wes. Don't forget, you can check us out on Facebook during the week at Jim Strader Outdoors. We keep you abreast of what's going on, try to give you tips about what's hot, what's not. And please stay safe out there. Safe boating, safe driving. God bless everybody.